Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Our so-called outdoor summer didn't get off to the best of starts over the weekend, with violence taking place in certain parts of Dublin. I'm sure many of you at this stage have seen the shocking videos that have been circulating online of fighting on the street and in a Dart station, young people jumping up and down on taxis, one scene of a bin being lit on fire, and general antisocial behaviour is what took place. Gardaí baton charged a group of young people and also deployed their public order unit at one point, having been attacked with bottles and other missiles. Now, there was widespread condemnation among politicians, but I found the differing opinions on what went wrong and how the problem should be fixed kind of bizarre, I have to say. There definitely wasn't one line of thinking. You had some politicians having a go at the Gardaí for being too heavy-handed. You had others suggesting that there should be more spaces for people to drink. You had others sympathising with the young people because, they must be so jaded from all the lockdowns and so on. But antisocial behaviour is not a new thing in Dublin or in the country as a whole. I was hoping that this might be the moment, this might be the opportunity that antisocial behaviour and the issue that it is would be highlighted and that a long-term plan would be introduced. But it doesn't seem to be happening. Also, I heard plenty of experts saying that it's only a small minority causing the problem. And yes, it is. But unfortunately, as we know, the majority of the world's problems are caused by minorities. It doesn't lessen the problem. So in your opinion, the question I want to know today is this. Having, you know, after there being so many differing opinions amongst politicians and experts as to how to clamp down on this and how not to let it happen again, what can be done, in your opinion, to prevent more of what we saw last weekend happening again? It's as simple as that. 087-188-0008 is the number to text or WhatsApp today. What can be done, in your opinion, to prevent more of what we saw last weekend just gone happening again? Because, as I mentioned at the start of the show, we're apparently going to have a very, very hot June. Therefore, there's going to be more people out in the street. There's going to be a festival atmosphere in the city centre. What can be done to prevent this from happening again? John O'Keefe is a criminologist. He's Dean of the College of Criminology and Policy Studies at City Colleges. John, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
John, your reaction to the scenes you saw over the weekend?
Well, you know, it goes to so many issues, but I suppose if I could just net it down, Mike, for me it goes through the criminal justice system from start to finish. Mm-hmm. And I never thought I'd begin a discussion with this quote, but I'm going to quote Troy Deeney, the captain of Watford Football Club, not the greatest known philosopher in these islands, but he knows a lot about street crime, knife crime. And he says, kids who get involved in public order incidents and violence, they do what they see. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a real truth in that. And these young people see that society in general doesn't, for example, respect the Gardaí in how we treat their work and their safety. So we pay lip service to the Gardaí, and 95% of us claim to have trust and confidence in the Gardaí. But in reality, there's a fallback position that we think, you know, guards are all right. Sure, they're cute. Sure, they'll be grand. Mm. I mean, none of those things are applicable. So if we just go to the weekend that you were talking about there particularly, we're now even in the position where we're apologising for our police daring to use shields when they're being attacked.
Yeah.
By bricks and bottles. The Green Party have a cunning plan, apparently, for policing, which will seemingly, you know, circumvent any riots at all in the future.
Yeah.
A plan, by the way, Mike, which has evaded the most knowledgeable and learned criminologists, psychologists and criminal experts since God rocked up. But anyway, incidentally, the Jesuit-educated Green Minister, Eamon Ryan, clearly doesn't know his Bible very well. Jesus was happy to throw people out of the temple, a little bit of table throwing, and that's all for free in Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. So, frankly, what I'm saying is the Comely Maidens are still at the crossroads, and they were in South William Street, as we saw last weekend. But now they've broken bottles, they've bricks, they've fireworks, and an excess belief in the awesomeness, I suppose, of their own hyper-masculinity.
Yeah.
But if we fail the police, we fail everything, and they're not being respected.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second, because that I found quite bizarre was the criticism of the guards, and I suppose it's the social media world we live in now. People were jumping down the necks of the guards when they saw them with batons, when they saw them with shields. And it was then that the guards had to give a press release to explain to the public that they had been attacked with bottles and so on. I mean, you're an expert in and have worked certainly with the Gardaí in the past, mm-hmm. Would know more than most. So their reaction to it, you don't see that as heavy-handed, do you?
No, I don't see it as heavy-handed because it definitively isn't heavy-handed.
Yeah.
It's not that that's my opinion or I think so or I'm falling into some right-wing category. It's because it isn't heavy-handed. If somebody attacks you with a bottle or a brick, you're entitled to defend yourself. You're entitled to be defensive and, depending on the circumstances, offensive. That's common knowledge. It's not a position. It's not right or left. It's just there has to be some bottom line, some mm-hmm. moral imperative that says you can go this far, but if you go further than that, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But look, we didn't even equip them. Like, we were talking about the shields and how embarrassing that apparently was. And then we would throw in, well, they had their soft caps on. I mean, what have we become? What do you mean they had their soft caps on? Well, they shouldn't have had. They should have had their helmets on, mm-hmm. but they're afraid to put them on. They've no body cameras still, and the body cameras are the real expert witness. But instead, we have doctored videos thrown up online by people, frankly, without a tiller of wit, to the cries of the most ironic cause of all, that we pay your salaries, considering they are indentured welfare benefits, many of them. And then this becomes the story. The story becomes, we were attacked, the Gardaí were heavy-handed, because that's the cultural narrative.
Mm-hmm.
But just because it's the cultural narrative, it doesn't mean it's true. And it's okay to care about the offender, yes, the guy who's throwing the brick, to examine why he's doing that. But it's also okay to care about the policeman who's been hit by that brick.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's getting that balance right. We just lost the run of ourselves. Quite
okay, and let's talk about the guy throwing the brick, or in this case, the people mm-hmm. jumping up and down on taxis and so on. You know, to the average law-abiding person, it just looks like law and order completely breaking down, a complete lack of respect for the Garda force. You know, the conversation over the weekend is, can you imagine if this happened in Spain, if this happened in France and so on and so forth? It just wouldn't be allowed to happen.
What is the
main problem here, John, and how do we nip it in the bud that young people think they can do this without much repercussion?
Well, you know, understanding what we can do with young people is a lifetime's work.
Yeah.
So what we can understand, what we can do, is how society fronts up to people who break the law or commit crime. So we can legislate for the criminal justice system. We can, as I say, give our guards the correct equipment. We can give them tasers, not guns, tasers, less lethal weapons that could be used in situations such as this when they're cornered. So we can certainly train them and equip them. But as we go up the criminal justice system, we can stop dishing out sentences that are comical. We can stop just giving people fines, the benefit of probation orders, whatever it might be. And they just need to do some jail time, not because we want necessarily to punish them, but because we have to set a mark. In rugby, you call the mark. But we never called the mark. And as a result, everything is fluid. So the rioting we saw at the weekend has almost a recreational or a designer quality to it, because there are no repercussions on the street, because the guard, the oversight has now gone beyond a joke.
Mm-hmm.
They know they can't use any force whatsoever. So really, they're no more than a kind of a toothless security company.
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder why there appears to be so little respect for the uniform and why these guys do this. Now, there are reasons on the other side, of course, as to why people commit public order offences. 95% of them committed when people are under the influence of alcohol or
mm-hmm.
drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So go figure.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And you can see people are just under the influence and having this festival mentality to the whole thing and getting as drunk as possible. And there are no controls really in place. And then when the guards come in, they're given out to, essentially.
I wonder if I could just make one point here, which I think is critical about the guards and the lack of respect. Frontline Gardaí are not afforded the status of victim ever.
Mm-hmm.
The assumption is you get 30 grand a year, you put on a uniform, therefore all bets are off. Your injuries somehow don't count. We can have a pot shot at you at any time we want.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you an example. Like, many nights I went out with guards, particularly in around Dublin, but around the country, and I would say once in every five shifts I went on, a guard, one or two, female or male, came in and they'd been kicked and punched, bruises on their legs, they have a cup of tea, and they go back out again. Do you know any other public servant where that would happen? Of course you don't, because it just doesn't happen. But there seems to be this incredibly high bar for injury for police for some bizarre reason, mm-hmm. even though they're walking towards the danger. So you and I, Mike, can kind of run away, which I think is probably what we would do. And yet we just don't allow them to be victims. And if we don't allow them to be victims, they can't get the benefits that the rest of us get for being victims. Simple as that.
And look, I suppose it comes down to, you know, how can the guards get respect from these young people if the general population doesn't have respect for the Gardaí? And I talk about politicians as well. You know, what are young people to think when the politicians are coming out and saying, poor young people, and the guards were too heavy-handed? So,
but also, they're just adopting positions because they can and they need to, and they've settled in a corner of the political spectrum that it's cosy for them. So, for instance, I mentioned Eamon Ryan. He didn't offer a solution as to how you would nip this in the bud. Mm-hmm. So rather than say, well, actually, we do need to treat why these things are happening, and there are lots of social, environmental and familial reasons for that, but we also right now can do something to protect the people who defend us. I mean, none of this is nuclear physics, mm-hmm. and you don't insult one group by helping another. You can do it for both.
All right, John O'Keefe, Dean of College of Criminology and Policy Studies at City Colleges. Thanks a million for coming on this afternoon. Take care,
John.
Thank
you very much.
All the best. 08, I have to get used to this. No, new number. Sorry, 0818 942 105 is the number if you want to give us a shout today. Ashling and Ruth are taking your calls. Or you can text or WhatsApp to 087 188 0008. Maybe you disagree with John and you reckon that the Gardaí were too heavy-handed, and that their baton charges and the shields and all that over the weekend was just excessive, too much, and citing a problem. Or like him, maybe you think, you know, politicians should give a bit more respect to the guards, that when they actually are being attacked by missiles, even if it's a small group of people, that they should be within their right to protect themselves. Considering, by the way, if you remember a couple of months ago when the anti-mask or anti-lockdown protests happened, some guy fired a rocket at the front line of An Garda Síochána. So you can't really blame them for popping shields up when they think something is going to get out of hand again. So look, there are so many different debates on this one subject and this one scenario that happened in Dublin City. And by the way, there were some incidents around the country as well. I saw some images from other counties where young people seem to be getting up to antisocial behaviour, but the main hub of it seemed to be in Dublin. South William Street, Grafton Street, Stephen's Green. But never has there been such a magnifying glass put on An Garda Síochána. Is it because it's young people? Is that the reason? Are people just too afraid for any sort of force to happen upon young people? Is that in general the problem? If young people think adults aren't going to crack down on this stuff, sure, what's to stop them from doing it again? It's an interesting one. What do you think should be done to prevent the scenes that happened last weekend happening again? 087-188-0008 on text or WhatsApp today. Robbie, you're live in Classic Hits. How are you, Robbie?
Not bad, how are you?
Not too bad. Your reaction to the scenes over the weekend in Dublin?
Somewhat not surprising in a sense, to be honest with you, because it looks like every scumbag from every corner of Dublin attended on Dublin City Centre, and there was a vast majority of people who were in there, by all accounts, were just in there having fun and enjoying themselves and blowing off some steam for a year and a half of lockdown that we've had. But unfortunately, a scumbag is always going to be a scumbag, you know, and that's a problem. But I mean, the guard spotlight is being pointed in the wrong direction for me, because we have to have a look at the antisocial behaviour, especially over the last couple of years, has really got worse. And I think the summer's going to get worse again in some parts, you know. I think Dublin City Centre itself will settle down now that everything else is starting to open up, and not everybody will have to ascend on town. They can go to their own local pockets, per se. And that means that you won't have the streets full. You know, it'll be able to be divided more equally across the board, across Dublin, you know. But again, once you got these gangs of little scumbags running around, like, they're always going to be there, you know what I mean? But I think that people have to take a step back and say, like, we're too damn soft, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm 40, you know, and if I hit a copper in the 80s when I was in my teens, I'd get knocked out.
Yeah.
It was as simple as that. And if I went home and told my mother and father, says, why did that copper hit you? It's because I hit my box. My mom would hit me a box.
Yeah, well, you know? Yeah, I know what you mean. But is there Is there a thought on this that maybe it's we're just hyper-focusing because of Dr. Tony Holohan's tweet, if you remember, a few days? That's when this all kind of began, the focus, the hyper-focusing on Dublin. Like, if you hyper-focused on Dublin and took video footage all the time of what happens every weekend, I don't think it's a huge amount different, to be honest with you. Of course, bar a couple of hundred people sending missiles at guards, that's a different story. But the isolated fighting on the Dart and the isolated fighting at that Lewis stop and so on that we saw on WhatsApp videos, that's not unusual.
No, but it doesn't mean it's right either.
No, I'm not saying it's right, but what I mean is, I hope this just doesn't get highlighted now because of Tony Holohan's comments and then it just dies down. I hope they do put some sort of plan in place because antisocial behaviour is destroying a lot of towns around this country.
Absolutely, and I completely agree with you. And I think, I hope it does highlight it so we can start to take a step back as a society and have a look and say, oh, this is not good enough. We can't get this. Because it's going on for far too long. And these little, some of the scumbags just think they can get away with it just because they can. Mm. And that's the problem. And that's something that has to be, that professor that was on there, I can't remember his name. John O'Keefe was right. He says, it seems that a lot of these people think, actually, look, I'll get away with it so I can deal with it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know? It's just not good enough.
What frightens me a little bit is that, you know, and I'm all for not, now I'm not agreeing with, you know, there's so many tweets I saw over the weekend, what you need to go in there now is you need to lift all these young people and you need to do this and that to them, whatever. I'm not necessarily in agreement with that. But when I see teenagers dancing up and down, or well, older than teenagers in fact, in a lot of cases, jumping up and down on taxis, and then you hear one of the leaders of the country saying, well, you know, we really should be nipping this in the bud, and do they have enough places to go, and like, what is that communicating to that young person who jumped on top of someone's livelihood? That is my concern.
I mean, some of the leaders, so called leaders in this country, are living in Clonkilcu land. I had it so far up there.
Yeah,
you know yourself. They wouldn't know their elbow from their other thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, and some of them mean very well, and some of them I'm sure can implement some good policy or whatever, but. It seemed to be evident that there was evidence of a complete disjointed opinion on what should be done in these scenarios. Yeah. It was just opinions all over the place.
Yeah. That's a problem in itself. The thing is with policy, all it is policy and it's on the paper.
Yeah.
You have to carry out what, and you have to put a foot down and say, right, this is it. This is it. Like, street drinking in Ireland is illegal. Mm. And the guards going around and telling people not to be drinking on the streets was doing their job. It is illegal.
But we looked up this beforehand. We looked up the bylaws and so on of drinking on the street because I think it's confusing everybody. On the one hand, you see a video of a couple of young people with drinks in their backpack and they're poured out. And then Mike, I don't know if you saw that video, but that video did the rounds. And I was thinking to myself, right, well, maybe it's because they're underage. And then someone said, no, the context of it was actually they weren't underage. Well, then I was saying, well, why are they pouring the drink out? And why then are we doing news packages with people drinking outside and having a great time? And it's put forward, isn't this great? People are out drinking pints out in the street. Like, it seems to be a very confused law at the moment. I have a drink in the street if I can and if it's in a responsible manner. But the lines are muddied right now.
Very much so. And that again, is a problem. But the thing is that once you look at the way society is now, when you got anything, you see a guard pulling up to somebody, like there's cameras pointed at them, cameras coming from every direction at them, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And once the guard tells them, put the camera down, you can't do that, you're invading my privacy and all this.
Oh,
yes. They get a camera in their face, you know.
Yeah.
But I think you're dead right. In relation to the laws, is they're going to bring in legislation. They're the legislators and they have to make sure that they legislate and they all stay on the same page and do what the law says. Because at the present moment in time, there's too many incidents happening in Dublin and across Ireland. And something has to be done. And you know yourself, Mike, over the years, it'll be too late when something happens because somebody will be killed.
Yeah.
And people might think, oh, you're overreacting. I'm not overreacting. I've seen it before over the years. I'm 49. These things only escalate when something like that happens.
No, they do. Absolutely. Well, all you have to look at is that taxi driver, that poor unfortunate trying to get in and do his business and his car being kicked and all that. And mob mentality can kick in and it turns into an absolute disaster. I'll just go to one more. Hang on there, Robbie, if you can. Martin, before the break, quick point. You're live on Ireland's Classic Hits. Hey, Martin.
Not too bad, how are things?
Not too bad. Right, everyone's shocked with this huge reaction this afternoon with people wanting to vent on what went on over the weekend, particularly those from Dublin who are trying to enjoy the street now that things are kind of opening up and they're afraid this stuff is going to happen again. What do you reckon, Martin?
Yeah, I mean, with things opening up, I think it'll get a lot better because you'll have sections cordoned off, and I think the Gardaí will have a bigger presence now, which should have been happening all along, I think, anyway.
Right.
But, I mean, I was looking at social media and all that, and there was people blaming everyone from Tony Houlihan to frustrations to everything. Yeah. I mean, there's millions and millions of people frustrated, and 99% of them did nothing. So I mean, it can't be just frustrations, and it just can't be.
Oh, absolutely. Are you talking about the people who were blamed for what happened?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I noticed that as well. The finger was pointed at the head of the city council.
Yeah.
The finger was pointed at Tony Houlihan. The finger was pointed at Neffert for the restrictions. It was pointed at mental health services. It was pointed at politicians. And no one actually pointed the blame at the young person jumping up in the taxi, which is blows me away.
Or their parents.
Now you have it. Or the family. And maybe a look into, well, how is this happening that a young one and a young guy can kick lumps out of a taxi? You know, okay, listen, alcohol is a major problem here as well. And Ireland has a problem with drink. We do. We have a problem with binge drinking, whether we like to admit it or not. It's evident.
The problem here is you can't look at anyone sideways anymore without getting any kind of saying, to F off or whatever.
Yeah, the aggression. The aggression is there. It's violent. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you talk about the guards or whatever, you're going to have people come on and go, well, look at the guards up in Donegal, or look at the ones with Maurice McCabe. And they're lumping them all in with the same people.
Yeah.
Which is wrong.
Listen, the majority of guards are decent people, decent, exactly, hardworking people. And look, and I know John O'Keefe at the start of the show, he's very favourable towards the guards. Yeah. He works with the guards, yeah, and so on and so forth, which is totally understandable. Yeah. But I tend to agree with a good bit of what he says. I mean, the majority of them are hardworking. And lot of cases, not paid very well. I mean, I don't personally think so. I've always said that in general in society, your healthcare staff and your security and your education are three of the paramount structures of society. Pay them well.
I wouldn't go near being a law enforcement if I was able to anyway.
But surely they are the, and I know it's all well and good for me to say this, but when you have civil servants twiddling thumbs, and I know there's a lot of God honest civil servants doing the right thing and the right job, don't get me wrong, I'm not having a go, but there are certain people being paid by the state who are on $500,000 a year or $250,000 a year or whatever, yet you have a guard going out to that nonsense, getting missiles thrown at them and bottles thrown at them, and they're on, you know, I don't know what the ballpark is, but it's not a decent figure for the work they're doing, in my opinion.
No. Oh no, I'd agree with you there as well. I mean, I'm a civil servant as it is, and I think I've.
Are you on half a million? Are you on half a million?
You can divide that by. I'm probably on 29,000.
Right, okay.
Which isn't great money in fairness, which is actually not bad for what I'm doing. You know, I'll put it that way. But it's not great money with how much things are costing at the moment in this country. So, I mean, people are lashing out at everybody, and I think people need to calm down and just realise that not everything is the lockdown's fault or an effort's fault.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're dead right, but these problems will be highlighted probably more as we come out of lockdown. Listen, I appreciate your call. Thank you, Martin.
Thank you, Robbie,
as well. If you want to get in touch on this one, and loads coming in, 087-188-0008 is the text and WhatsApp number if you want to get in touch. A lot of people kind of think, look, it looks like it's over now, it has peaked, maybe it's not going to happen again, so maybe we don't have to worry about it. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, all right. I think the guards will definitely have more of a plan. I think the guards, the city council, everybody was a little bit blindsided by what went on. And sure, they'll probably implement a plan for the coming weekends. But, you know, it can happen in other cities. It can happen around the country. But it has highlighted a bigger problem, which is the antisocial problem, which is destroying some corners of the country, and what can be done. But my main question today is, what can be done to prevent scenes like we saw over the weekend happening again? 087-188-0008. I'm going to take a very quick break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes' time. Now, you're very welcome Welcome back. It is Mike Hogan in for Niall today until 2 o'clock if you want to give me a shout. It's 0818 942 105, or you can text or WhatsApp 087 188 0008. We're talking about the scenes that happened in Dublin over the weekend and what can be done to prevent a repeat of that, essentially. Lots of politicians, lots of experts throwing in their few cents, nipping it in the bud beforehand, designated drinking areas, all these various opinions being thrown in. And I have to say, I thought it was a bit daft at the beginning of all this, that the main solution was portaloos and bins, as if that was going to solve everything. Oh, if we have bins, well, then all the rubbish will be cleaned up. But you're forgetting about the drunk people, and you're forgetting about the antisocial behaviour. And they ended up, in one scenario, lighting one of the bins on fire. So that kind of set that idea alight, if you pardon the pun. Charles, you're live on Classic Hits. How are you, Charles?
How you doing?
Not too bad. Charles, you have seen some of the videos doing the rounds. You don't think it was that big a deal, do you?
No, I think it's a huge deal to come the end of the weekend to carry on and jumping on taxis and all that kind of carry on. But the whole situation has escalated last week from Tony Houlihan's tweet. I've been in town the last, I'd say, 3 or 4 months, in and out of town with a couple of friends of mine and with my missus on the other day. And the lack of police, there wasn't a drink thrown, there wasn't a punch thrown, there wasn't a drink spilt, there wasn't a fight, there was nothing like that at all. Mm. And as soon as the Houlihan tweet comes in, the police come in heavy-handed, start antagonising the crowd, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, you know what?
It's some personal experience. So I was in there over the weekend, and Saturday night, shut off South William Street, wouldn't allow people to go certain places because of the behaviour the week before. So, and then come Sunday, there was a group of kids up around the top of St. Stephen's Green area, and five public order units of police came out, pushed them all down Grattan Street, pushed them all towards South William Street, and created the problem themselves. They pushed them all into an area where there was at least a couple of thousand, 3,000 people. Well, I don't know what they expect to happen when they're thrown in, when they're going along, taking people's drinks out of their hands, throwing them on the ground, making it look like they're different. And then that antagonising the crowd, like, I don't understand
I take your point, and it's an interesting one about the initial tweet, because all was quiet in the Western Front until Tony Houlihan put out a tweet to say that he thought it was like a festival or whatever. Then the country's media descended on South William Street. Then there were live reports from RTE. All the news channels ended up being in there. So now everything is picked up on. And that was my point, that those fights you see online and so on, if you go into Dublin City any Saturday night and start filming, you are going to get that sort of behaviour. Now, the young people jumping up and down taxis, that's a different story. The couple of hundred people throwing bottles of missiles is a different story.
Yeah, the two T's aren't mutually exclusive. You don't have to be condoning that action.
Of course.
To then say that what they were doing was wrong on the Friday night, the Saturday night when they were just in town. Like, you had a criminologist on the start of the show today.
Yeah.
So you're basically tarring them as criminals when they've been told from the start of the year, We're gonna have to have an outdoor summer.
Yeah, but they were criminals, Charles. The people dancing up and down taxis are criminals.
Of course they were, but so I'm not condoning that.
Yeah.
But on Friday night, Saturday night when the police went in and pushed people down Grattan Street and corralled them into South William Street, the majority of people in town are 25 to 40 year olds. I don't think people understand that. There's groups of kids going around. Of course there is. But when they seen the carry on Saturday night, come Sunday night, they must have all said, come on, we go to town, there's a buzz in there. So, like, I don't understand how people can't see that this has been created. Of course they're scumbags. No, but don't try and misquote me and say that I'm condoning that, because I'm not in the slightest. But if your question is, how do you stop this from happening again?
Yeah.
Lift the lockdown. Yeah. Let people get out of the limbo they're living in.
Well, it'll also be interesting to find out, and maybe what you're saying will come true, because essentially the lockdown, insofar as the outdoor dining and all that, has been lifted. So if there is a stop to this come next weekend, well, maybe that was the answer all along.
Well, sure, look at yesterday. Everywhere opened up yesterday. There was more people in town yesterday than there was in any part of the weekend, and there was nothing happened because the businesses were allowed to open and allowed to have that, and people just feel a lot more relaxed. Then they're sitting down, they're not standing around on edge looking at youngsters walking by. If people are in the pub and they're sitting in that pub area, well, Well, then the police can come along and find the 16-year-old that has a couple of cans. Listen, it's not on, you'll have to go home. Then you have law and order reimposed.
But do you believe that some of these young people, and when I say do you believe, this is something I had in my head as well, that some of the, there are a lot of people who will just descend on a place where they think there's going to be a chaos and a bit of divilment.
Of course.
Now, if the chief medical officer highlights this, the international media, the BBC had it too, and suddenly they're going in for a bit of divilment. Do you think that can happen also?
Of course it can. Go to any concert years though in Phoenix Park around. There'll be youngsters, gangs up and hang around outside that have no tickets just to see what's going on, a bit of crack going on.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying a bit of crack, it means vandalism and fighting and all that kind of thing, but that's always happened. That's just been a thing that always happened in any kind of society. You're always going to get a few idiots and a few people that are just up to no good. You know, but I mean, like, people are saying, oh, you can't blame everything on this, you can't blame everything on that, and all that. Like, this whole state of what's going on has been created by the government. Like, people are in a situation now where they're in limbo. You don't know when no one's going to get the normal life back if you listen to the media and to the government. So, what are they doing? They're hanging around. They've no prospect of college. They've no prospect of finishing their school properly. They've no prospect of getting J1 visas to travel the world. They've no prospect of nothing. What are they supposed to do?
Well, not throw a bottle at a guard, though. You know,
I'm going to distance myself from saying that. No, I'm not condoning that in the slightest.
Yeah, but I don't think anyone else is condemning people who are responsibly drinking. I think the only people they're condemning are those who partook in criminal damage.
But the media is trying to portray that everyone was doing it.
Yeah,
do you not think that?
I would hope that people are logical enough to say that. The majority. I already said at the outset of the show. From the outset of the show, I said that I always find it funny when they say small minorities. And in fairness, the media have continuously said small minorities. My problem is with small minorities is that it's shunned away. It's like, well, it's only a small few, but a small few can cause chaos, which we saw.
Yeah.
But I think most people are logical in thinking that it was a small minority.
There's a small minority running the country at the moment and running it into the ground. But you have the most vocal.
Well, that's a different day. I know where you're coming from.
They're causing chaos, all right.
Yeah, I was
down in the canals a couple of weeks ago the night before they stopped all the people down there, and a girl band guard multiple said, "Look, if you're having a drink, do you mind just pouring it into a plastic glass and make it look like you're that?" And I said, "Look, no problem." And about 5 minutes later, a young guard come over, a fella come over to me, and more or less gave the speaker a boot and says, "Get that shite out of here." You know, and like, you know, if I was a heavy or if I had been drunk, I could have turned around and said, like, give it out. You know, we're not doing nothing wrong here.
But it's
police as well.
Yeah, but I agree with you, right? But and you're going to think I'm an awful square here, Charles. But I lived above that canal. We rented an apartment there for some time.
I understand that. No, I understand.
In Portobello.
Yeah.
Depends on what you think is acceptable or not. And it's all well and good you having your beer, me having my beer along the canal, roaring and shouting, and some fella jumping into the canal in the nip, which seems to happen every blooming time there's a hot day. But when you're trying to get your kid to bed, it is a residential area. Either there's no drinking in public or there is.
Again, you're back to the mixed messaging then. So if you think about it, right, they closed down the canals. They close down the bandstand in the middle of Stevens Green. They close down other places. Where do you expect these people to go? You're pushing them all into the one area, and then St. William Street happens, and people think, well, why did that happen?
Yeah.
If you can go nowhere else, and again, as I said to you, on one side of the paper they're saying to you, an outdoor summer, and the other side of the paper they're saying to you, you're not allowed to drink. So it's a mixed message, as you say, but if they're going to constantly close place after place after place, like if someone has a few drinks now in some park this week and you close that park down,
but
then people are going to go elsewhere.
Charles, the last thing I'll say to you is in relation to our outdoor summer, right, think of what we always talk about here when we talk about an outdoor summer. I think they have the best intention when they say it, and I do genuinely think that if other countries in Europe are talking about an outdoor summer, they mean an outdoor summer. They mean picnics. They mean don't eat there, eat your bread there, eat your thing, feed the ducks here. We are just theming it around alcohol. Everything we talk about is alcohol. We think an outdoor summer means a drinking summer that we don't think.
Go to any park and any beach that's packed to the gills and nobody's drinking there, or if they are, they're just having a couple of drinks and they're going home. It's all portrayed on St. William Street and the trouble, and of course it's unacceptable. I'll say it once more, okay. It's unacceptable. But if you're going to keep just focusing on that, why don't they send RTE down to Sutton Beach or Malahide or Port Marnock? There's been thousands of people out there with their kids having a great time, all crammed in the area, not a trouble, nothing to happen.
All right.
And then to call all them scumbags because they're congregating around the area.
All right, well, listen, Charles, good point. Look, you think it's blown out of proportion to a degree.
I don't think it's blown out of proportion.
No.
They carry on the end of
it. Of course.
I think the whole thing has been instigated in the first place.
Yeah, look, that's what the debate is all about. Listen, Charles, I appreciate your call. Take care. And I'm going to come to Anne after the break. If you want to comment on this, we've another few minutes. 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. With John O'Keefe at the start, criminologist. And he believes that it was, you know, disgraceful insofar as the reaction of certain politicians to An Garda Síochána, and that some saying, you know, they were too heavy-handed, they came out with shields and all that, and he reckons they have to be able to protect themselves, that that's kind of one of the main problems. If we don't have respect as a public for the guards' ability to protect themselves, or right to protect themselves, well then, what are young people going to think? Are they going to have any respect for the guards? But then you have Charles there saying, well look, if the guards are going out cordoning off areas and getting young people out of parks and, you know, almost backing them into a corner, what can you expect? And also that it may have been blown out of proportion a little bit. We can't, I suppose, hyper-focus on a couple of incidences. And I'm telling you now, the video that you've all probably seen at this stage with young people jumping on top of a taxi, it has happened before. It's not new. And I guarantee you, if you bring the nation's news cameras into Dublin City on a Saturday, Sunday night of a bank holiday weekend, it's not going to be hugely different, really, I have to say. And I've seen it. I've seen people dance on people's cars after a football match, right? Not just after a lockdown. I've seen it happen before, so it's not brand new. So maybe it is a little bit blown out of proportion and we need to settle down. What do you reckon? 087-188-0008 is the number if you want to text or WhatsApp. I'll get around to those messages in just a couple of minutes' time. Hey, very welcome back. Mike Hogan in for Niall Boylan today. 087-188-0008 if you want to get in touch. Couple of texts, couple of voice messages coming in as well today.
Good afternoon. Hope you're well. Enjoying the show. I think the guards should be allowed to enforce an awful lot more than what they're doing, because when we were young, we were kids, if you got out of line, you'd be quickly got to kick up the rear end off a guard or whatever. Teachers or Christian Brothers the like, and an awful lot of people grow up with better discipline because the guards were allowed to, you know, fight fire with fire, basically, not have to, you know, endure this madness that's going on. So basically they need to be put back in their place. That's my opinion on it. Enjoying the show, Paul here.
Okay, cheers for that, Paul. Anne, you're live on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you, Anne?
I'm grand, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad at all. Right, so a lot of reaction to this today.
Your thoughts on it,
so did we descend into chaos in the capital city over the weekend, or is it blown out of proportion?
Well, I think it all goes back to how we view, I suppose, common spaces. Most people just want to be able to go about their business, enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, not be in fear. And I think most ordinary people, if they'd been in the middle of that or seen it, would have been frightened, and it would have found it very unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it means that we've descended into, that we've all become feral, mm-hmm. and that we have to throw our hat at it. But I think it was unacceptable. Be it 100 or 200, there's just certain things that we have decided as a society we don't allow.
Yeah.
And I remember listening before the weekend to the Lord Mayor talking about, you know, needing toilets and bins. And I remember actually thinking at the time it was a bit naive.
Yeah, I thought that myself. And that was Hazel Chu said that. And in fairness, she wasn't the only one.
No, she wasn't at all. But I think I listened to the head of the Green Party, and there was another Green, there was a lady on the radio, and they all came across as though all we needed were very good babysitters.
Yeah.
And if we had that in place, we'd all be fine. And I think a lot of what's driven on social media, with all due respect, it's a very liberal view of policing. And it can be that, now we have guardians of the police in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
you know, Garda Síochána. It's a very particular way of policing. And but sometimes on social media, and I would never ever support, I don't support giving a child a kick up the arse. I think one of the reasons we're where we are is because we had letter fracks, and if a child even stole an apple, they were detained, and we moved radically away from that. But I think there's a bit of a gap. I think a lot of what happened on the streets was recreational rioting, people out for the day. And I think drink is a huge problem in Ireland that we never seem to want to deal with.
It is. And also, if you look at some of those young people, I'm not trying to defend them here, but I can guarantee they wouldn't do it sober. Some of them. And drink is the elephant in the room here.
Oh, no, I think our attitude to drink is awful. I mean, how many people do you hear going before a judge? Children. Who have done awful things.
Yeah.
And the thing is, they say, well, they've had a horrible home life. And then adults who go before, after, and bear in mind, it's mostly young men who are the victims of assault and who end up dead as a result of drunken brawls. I'm not saying women aren't affected by drink, but, you know, it's such a pervasive, to me, it's the thing that we haven't dealt with. The amount of families that are affected by drink, the amount of young people whose lives can be completely altered by one wrong move in the wrong place. And now you've everybody filming you. I mean, when I was growing up, whatever you got up to, nobody had a photograph of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that is true too. I tell you what, Anne, I don't have a huge amount of time left, but I do want you to hear what Gary has to say, because Gary was in the city and witnessed something. We just want to hear from Gary. Hang on there, Anne, if you can. Gary, you're live on Ireland's Classic Hits. How are you, Gary?
Not too bad.
Go ahead.
That mic, is it?
It is, yeah. Go ahead. What did you witness, Gary?
So I was in town last Monday week, and I met a friend that I haven't seen in a good few months. We just went for a walk in Temple Bar, and we grabbed a pint in the old mill, the pub there, and we drank it on the square.
Right.
And generally speaking, everybody was kind of chilled out and relaxed. We met about half six. We had a pint, and then we were going for something to eat. And we walked down Temple Bar. We were going to go to Zaytoon, which is on Parliament Street.
Right. Okay. And what did you witness, Gary?
Okay. So we passed the Dolphin Hotel, the old Dolphin Hotel, and we noticed that there were a lot of teenagers around. They weren't causing any trouble from what I could see, but there were a lot of them around. And so we passed the Dolphin Hotel, and we just glanced up the lane, and there were two teenagers, I'd say 14, 15 at the oldest. And they were just sitting on the window. The windows of the building are quite deep. Mm-hmm. And she was bouncing up on top of them, and they were just having sex in the open in the middle of the day. She was wearing kind of a tight dress that was pulled up to her
okay,
waist.
Okay, yeah. We're, apart from the details, there were two people, two teenagers having sex openly in public.
There were, yeah. Now, there were a lot of teenagers. There were two other girls that passed them as we passed, and they were basically saying, you know, you need to get down on the ground. It'd be much easier, you know. I was just...
Just flabbergasted about the whole thing. And listen, and again, Anne, are you in Dublin? Are you from Dublin?
Oh, I am.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, I think, you know, 10 years ago, if we had this discussion on radio, we'd all be gobsmacked, and the whole topic would be centred around two young people having sex openly in public. But it doesn't surprise me. I've seen it. I've seen it before. I saw it up the road from us here where we're based not so long ago when I was grabbing a coffee. It was openly happening. A bench up by the point, so it doesn't even shock us anymore.
Listen,
Gary,
I go to the dentist down at I take the Lewis from where I work down to the point.
Yeah,
and you would imagine that's to look at it, you think you're going to a very modern part of a capital city.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen. The last time I was down there, there were people openly dealing drugs on the Lewis.
Yeah.
Openly dealing drugs, people fall onto it, fall off of it. I've seen people get their heads beaten off them. I mean, there was a woman who had her throat cut down there. And, like, I often wonder where was the massive outcry to that woman being murdered.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't know what... I'm not one of those people who thinks we've gone to hell, you know, in a handbag.
No, absolutely. And equally, look, I'm from Dublin originally, and I love and adore it. But you're right. And thinking back, and you're highlighting it there, Gary, and pretty much in the last couple of months, I have seen exactly what you've seen. Open sex in public, someone dealing drugs. I saw kind of, you can only laugh at it really, two young lads looking at each other suspiciously in a park. I said to myself, what are they up to? And they think they're being covert, you know, and you can see them a mile off that they're doing something. One of them goes down to tie his shoelaces, drops a bag, and the other fellow picks it up and they walk in opposite directions. Now that's right in front of my eyes. So there's drug dealing.
The drug dealing I saw, one person got on in Abbey Street. He had a very loud conversation with the people he was meeting up with. They got on at the forecourt. There was nothing covert about their drug dealing. They took out wads of cash and were standing in the middle of the Lewis, on the Lewis. And I went down to the two guys, you know, the security men, and I said, is this it now? I said, you can openly sell drugs on a Lewis. And I just got off at Smithfield.
They're probably petrified to go and challenge these guys. Listen,
I have no legal powers. That's why when you have the likes of the Green Party...
Mary, I'm way out. Sorry to jump in on you. I'm way out of time. Goodbye. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Gary, as well for that.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.